Hallelujah. In this place. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you must be out of your Baptist mind today. You must be out of your sanctified mind today. Y'all came to have crazy church. They out of their mind, Pastor Cole. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. The Bible encourages us to praise Him. Amen. I believe we've done that. Amen. We've lifted up the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, in this house on today. Listen, if you're here and you don't know anything about Him, shame on you. Because the saints of God have engaged in worship and have given Him His due worship and praise. Amen. Amen. But you just keep hanging around. If you're still wondering about who He is and why we're acting like we act, just keep hanging around. Amen. As my grandmama used to say, keep living. Keep living and coming among the saints, and you'll soon discover that what He has done for us, somebody help me in here, He'll do for you. You know, there used to be an old song that says, if anyone is afflicted, God specializes. And I've come today, and the message is centered around those who are going through something. I don't know where you are. 2015 may not have been a good year for you, but those who have gone through something, you need to understand that God specializes in doing the impossible. If you're in a place where you need a miracle, you're in the right place. Is there anybody who needs something from the Lord? Amen. All of us need Him. Amen. We need something from Him. Amen. To our choir that has blessed us, the music ministry has set the atmosphere for the Word of God. Amen. To the official leadership of this church, to our worship leader, to all of the saints of God, our guests and visitors, it's indeed a blessing to be able to stand before you on the Lord's Day. Amen. Proclaiming the gospel. Anybody ever wondered if you would make it this far? I mean, when that calendar rolled over other night to 2016, you said, I never thought I'd see this day. When I looked down and I saw all of those years to come, I never thought 2016 would be a year that I'd see. But you're here by the grace of God. That's worth praising Him. We'll pause just a moment for that. For your understanding that you're not here on your own, but because of the grace of God, He's blessed you to be in this place. Amen. 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 I want to ask you to do something different as we prepare to give our text today. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want to ask you to stand and take the hand of the person that's standing next to you. If you're able to stand, I want you to stand. Because I've been praying that this would be a different day, that, and I need to do something through the Word today to break something in the lives of some people. I don't know where you are, but I believe that you're here today because the Lord has spoken so that you got some things you need divorce from. And I want to ask you, as we're praying before this word comes forth as a seed, that you would pray for the person whose hand you're holding, that if they're that individual, that they would hear the voice of God. Amen. They would receive everything that God has for them while they're here in this place. Everything up to now has been set to prepare your heart for the seed that's about to be dropped in there. Father God, we pray right now. We thank you for the worship that's going forth to precede your words depositing into our spirit. We thank you, God, that in this season you speak to the church. Your voice is plain. It's audible. It's clear. We ask and pray, God, now that as we stand as a body, as believers in fellowship, not only with you, but with one another, we're concerned about the person whose hand we're holding. Father God, we know that all of us go through trial and tribulation. We pray, God, that as your word is planted now in our hearts, we come against, we rebuke the enemy that will come immediately and try to take and snatch out what has been planted. But Father God, we ask and pray now for the heart, that it would not be hard, where it will not be able to receive what you're able to offer. We pray, God, for the hand that we're holding to be attentive and be receptive to the word, that they would receive it in their heart and believe it by faith, that it might transform their life and allow them to make an impact on others. I pray, Father, right now that there would be praise in the midst of what we're about to hear, that there would be celebration over where you brought us and anticipation of where you're taking us. Bless this house, God, that even as we're holding one another's hand, God, you're holding all of us up in the hollow of your hand. We thank you, Father, that we're in your hand. And because we're in your hand, you choose to bless us. You choose to favor us. You choose to protect us and provide for us. And for that, we are grateful, God, that even as we're able to stand as a testimony in this house, we thank you for the right activity of our limbs. We thank you for the right capacity of our mind and our thinking, the right faculties in our mind. We thank you, God, that you have opened doors for us just by the fact you brought us into a new season. You've opened doors for us, God, that cannot be closed. And we thank you, Father, that you put some things away in our closets that'll never be opened again. We thank you, Father God, that you are forgiving. Now, Father, I ask and pray that you use this vessel of clay for your divine service. Make it meet now to accomplish your will. Extract out of it all you've ordained for this day. Let it pour until it's empty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before you sit down, I want you to just look at the person on the left and right and say, I love you. And I want what's best for you in the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 1. There you will find these words. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, all waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Say 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, look at somebody and say, Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Verse 9 will conclude our text, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You may be seated. The body of Christ prays with us on this first Sunday of this year. I want to talk and address this body with this particular thought. The power of an empty bed in 2016. Power of an empty bed in 2016. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as 2016 has rolled in, many in this room have made resolutions. The unfortunate thing about those resolutions is they won't last. Amen. They may not last. And even beyond that, the things that you have resolved that you are going to do, you may actually be powerless to perform. Right now, 3 days into the new year, your strength may seem sufficient. and your will seems sure. But my brothers and sisters, in just a few days from now, reality will set in. Have I got a witness in here? And there you will discover that even though the calendar may have changed, there still is a trail of negativity and adversity that's still at your address. Are y'all going to help me in here? And it did not understand that you were supposed to stay out of the new year and not come over in with you, but it followed you into another calendar year. Let me help you to understand it this way. Someone in this room may have come to the conclusion that this current level of disruption, dissatisfaction, and dysfunction in your life will be what defines you for the rest of your days. Y'all still miss me? Let me leave it in your lap. What I'm simply saying to you is that for somebody in this room, you have come to the conclusion, it is in your mind, that what happened to you in last year is going to happen to you this year. And if you live beyond this year, it'll be the same thing next year and the year after. In other words, you've come to the place where you feel that circumstances will never change. Y'all are going to talk to me. They define you for the rest of your days, and that leaves you in a bad place. It leaves you feeling overwhelmed. It leaves you feeling frustrated, feeling depressed. You feel lonely. You feel sad. And some of you even feel bitter. Y'all ought to be honest in here. Feel bitter. You've watched others have their moment in the sun. Even shouted with them when they got their breakthrough. But even though you were shouting with others when they had their moment in the sun, there you are, still under cloud, still in the storm, and the rain is still falling on your tent. Leaves you in a place of wondering of how you can make it through another day. Some things in your life have attached themselves to you and have held on for the long haul. It hung around in your life, and when the calendar rolled over, because it was hanging around, you now are hung over. But I say to you, my brothers and sisters, that even though you feel the dysfunction, dissatisfaction, and even the depression, I say to you on this Lord's Day, yet rejoice. Yet rejoice, because in spite of all the tests, in spite of all the trials and temptations, in spite of all you've gone through, somehow by grace, you're part of the number that the Lord blessed to go out of 15. And enter over into 16. Now, I don't know what that means for you, but because he's faithful in bringing me into it, I know that he has something for me while I'm here. That's what keeps me going. I don't know about you, but that's what keeps me going in my spirit, in knowing that in spite of how hard it was, how difficult it has been, and how hard it may be in the future, the fact that he keeps bringing me, y'all ought to help me in here. The fact that he keeps bringing me to a new year and into a new phase in my life suggests to me that the best is yet to come. When we think about it, somehow you made it to this day of being here, sitting under the sound of my voice and in the presence of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, I say to you today, this text is tailor-made for the tarrying, troubled, tattered hearts that have gathered in this house on today. For we are anticipating, it is my prayer, that in 2016, that God raises some folk up off of some beds of affliction. That God raises some folks up off of the bed of poverty. That God is going to raise some folk up out of the place of their sin. That God is going to raise some ministries up out of the place of complacency, half-heartedness, and pitying and backbiting and tattling and all of those things. God is going to empty some beds in 2016. And around this house, there will be people who have the testimony that I was sick. Y'all ain't gonna help me today, but I'm healed. And not only will it be in this house, but it will have an impact and spread that there will be some people in Newmarket that will be able to say that God raised me up to a new life. This can be your year for something different. If we look at the text this morning, we see that Jesus has been on the move. And after John gives us the context of Jesus coming in chapter 1, he provides us impact through the insight of his presence. There's Jesus as he's in Cana, he turns water into wine. Chapter 4, he has a conversation. Well, chapter 3, he has a conversation with the religious leader Nicodemus about being born again at night. And then in chapter 4, he has a conversation about worship in the spirit with a woman at a well in the day. Jesus has the ability even to heal one whose son is sick, even though there's distance between him. He says, speak the word, and my son will be healed. And while he's on his way, he receives a report that his son is healed, and he is able to rejoice the word of Jesus. By the time the page turns in chapter 5, the Bible says that after all of this Jesus has been doing and been on the move in the midst of the misery of the masses, the Bible says that there was a day of celebration. And Jesus goes to Jerusalem. The significance of Jesus being in Jerusalem is the place for worship. Jerusalem is the place where the name of the Lord is elevated and exalted. Jesus goes in the midst of a celebration to the place where his Father is recognized and his presence ought to be acknowledged. Jesus goes there in Jerusalem. There is a sheep market. And by the sheep market, there is this pool. There's this pool by name called Bethesda, which by interpretation it means the house of mercy. In Aramaic, it comes from two words, which means the home of grace. Jesus goes to a feast in Jerusalem, comes to a place where there's a sheep market by a pool. And at this pool called Bethesda, the place where mercy resides, a place where grace is at home. And there in the place of grace, the place where mercy resides, there is a crowd that's gathered there. Isn't it strange that the Bible here in this text does not tell us that around the sheep market, the pool, and around this place in Jerusalem, there's a bunch of religious folks who've got it all together, who don't need anything, who are self-sufficient, who are efficient, who are on their way to glory without anything stopping them. But the Bible does not say that. It says that hanging out around mercy or hanging out around grace are people who are in need. People who have broken lives. People who have had tribulation. People who are sick. The Bible says that they lay there. They are laying there around this pool. This was continual and perpetual. In other words, there was never a day nor a time where there was not somebody laying around the pool of Bethesda. Never empty. They were empty because, Miss Dolores, they were laying there because there was in the place of mercy and in the home of grace, it also produced expectation. It was never empty because there was something that would happen seasonally around that time, and they would gather there because they were waiting for something. Let me tell you about who was hanging around. The Bible said that there were impotent folks. By definition, these were feeble folks. They were sick in their body. These were the diseased. These were those who were without strength or wilderness. They were those who suffered from something in their body. Anybody sick? Not only were they sick, but there were those who were blind. And everybody in here can say that I'm blind. Well, let me tell you, there's two kinds of blindness. You can have sight but no direction. You can have eyes that see but not be going anywhere. Not having sight does not restrict your mobility, but you have no direction. You can be directionless. There were those who were blind, and then there were those who were halt, those who were paralyzed, those who had been immobile. Anybody in here feel paralyzed, immobilized, constricted in your movement? They were all around the pool, and not only that, there were those who were withered. They had those things attached to them, but they didn't work. There was no function in their limbs, and so their limbs were of no use. They were withered and dried up. Anybody got anything dried up in your life? So let's recall. They have those who are sick in their body, infirm. Those who are blind, could not see. Those who were halt and paralyzed, could not move from here to there. And those who were withered, who had no function, who had no usage or serviceability out of their limbs. All around the house. Isn't it something that as they have come there, as they have come there in their condition, they are there. And the Bible says something about them as they were there. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Waiting because at a certain season, an appointed time, a proper fixed time, the Bible says it was the Kairos. In the Kairos, the set appointed season, that due perfect season, an angel would descend from heaven, fall down at the pool, agitate the water, and whoever was first got in the water after that got their blessing. Angel would fall down at a certain season. If it's your season, it's a good thing. If it's your Kairos, good news for you. If you're able to be first to the interview, first to the altar with her, y'all ain't gonna help me in here. You had to beat the other brother to the altar with her. If you're first in line, if you're first to receive the medication, if you're first, good news. But what about if you're not first? Better luck next year. Better luck next season. Better luck coming back again. They were waiting for the angel to move around those porches. They lay in the entranceways of this pool, waiting for this moving of the water by the angel, because there was expectation that if I can get in the water after the angel has come, then my season will have come. Folks, this is the thing in the spirit of when you are looking for things that happen through Christ, even through the Spirit, and there's a one way that you may feel in your mind that God is able to do it, and there's no other way. If God does not do it this way, it can't happen. But I love this text because it's tailor-made to help us to understand that his ways are not our ways. And regardless if you have missed this time, Chronos does not interfere, because when Jesus does show up, he has the power to make things different. The Bible says they waited on the season for the angel to come and trouble the water. If you are thirst, you are blessed. If you're not, tough break. Sorry to tell you, you got to come again next year. You got to keep hanging around the pool until your season has come. But I thank God for verse 5, because the Bible says that in the midst of the crowd, there is a certain man. I thank God that he deals with us as a collective body, but God saves us and deals with us individually. In other words, that means God wants to bless your church. God wants to bless your household. He wants to give increase to all that are in your fold, but he also wants you to understand everything he's doing goes back to his desire to have an intimate personal relationship with you. Yes, even your brokenness is bringing you closer to him. Yes, even your pain is pushing you to prayer. Even your enemies are extracting out of you the ability to trust God and to move forward with God's assignment on your life. Quit despising where you are. Quit despising who's left you, and appreciate the fact that in the midst of my storm, Jesus does show up. I thank God that in the scriptures, it does not always talk about the crowd, but there are some specific moments where he singles us out and says a certain man and a certain woman, because that helps me to put myself in the middle of that text, and I'm able to see him more clearly than I would if I were just looking at him from the perspective of the crowd. He singles it down and he says that there was a certain man. Now, I like John because John does not give us a whole lot of details about all of the things that Jesus did. But he says in chapter 20, verse 31, that the stuff I did right about him is so that you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God has sent him, and you might have faith in him unto salvation. He says to us that this certain man is there who had an infirmity. How long? 38 years. Anybody got any lingering problems? A certain man. We don't know how old he is. We don't even know how long hanging around the pool has been his custom. We always say he's been there 30. We don't know that. Only thing the Bible reveals to us is that he has been attached to this infirmity for 38 years. Now, if he's like a lot of us, if we had something that was in our life for 38 years, we probably would have tried some different stuff and then wound up where he was. What are you saying? You got problems? Rather than prayer, you went to the bottle. You had issues in your marriage. Rather than talk it out and pray to God, you went and found you another boo and start sharing all of that with them. Rather than you staying put where you were on your job, you went somewhere else. We've tried several things. If it lingers, lingers for 38 years. 38 years. By now, he is probably weary. Because anything that has a hold on you, Bible says he had this infirmity for 38 years. It's a present participle, which means it was continuous. It was repeated. It was day after day. He never woke up and had a good day where he didn't feel this pain. Never had a day where he was separated. Never had a day where it was not in his mind that he was going through what he was going through. It was never in his mind, not in his mind, that he had to deal with this adversity. The Bible says for 38 years he dealt with this pain. 38 years. Things that have affected your body, hear me, saints of God, will ultimately begin to interfere with your mind. That's why when you enter something, you are able to fight initially, but if you stay in that thing for a long time, you begin to get weary. You begin to feel frustrated. you begin to feel defeated and if it's never going to change. And this man had been in this place 38 years. But I thank God for verse 6. And in verse 6, there is introduction, interaction, and inquiry from Jesus. What does it say? Verse 6 says that Jesus saw him. Don't ever miss that Jesus sees you. I know you may be invisible to your coworker, to your neighbor, to your friend, but Jesus sees you where you are. He sees you. And not only that, in his introduction, he sees you, but then he moves toward you. Other folks are getting away from you. Oh, she been in that 38. I don't want no part of that. You know, they say that you get caught up with some stuff just by being associated with. So I got to get away from you. You sick. Don't cough and sneeze on me. They're getting away from you. They're deserting you. Jesus moves toward the man. He moves toward him with purpose because he perceived in his mind that the man had been struggling with what he had been going through for a long time. I looked at his brother Law and I said, how did Jesus know he had been dealing with it for a long time? And I said, the Spirit said, well, look at how you know folk been dealing with stuff for a long time. First of all, if you've been dealing with something for a long time, he probably had some stuff around his bed that says, I'm going to be here for a while. You know how it is. You get a little cold and you ain't going to work. You want the remote right next to you. You put the pillow right there next to you because you know you're going to be there for a while. And you even get so up in the air that you bring the toilet to you in a basket and you bring it in a little cup. And so you don't have to move because you know you ain't going nowhere for a while. You begin to get comfortable, and so rather than trying to get out of it, you start to bring things to you where you are in the middle of it. So at least if you gotta suffer, you'll be comfortable. Jesus may have seen, you know, not only did he have a bed there, but he had a couple of pillows laying around him. He had some stuff that was sitting next to him, a bottle of water or something else that let him know that even though I can't get out of this, I'm going to make myself comfortable in my misery. But not only that, I noticed that when people have been dealing with something for a long time, there were probably people around the pool that had given him a nickname. They go, oh, lame. Old pool layer. Old man of 38 years. You know how it is. You get so familiar with folk in that condition that they give you a nickname. And y'all on a first name basis. Jesus may have heard somebody shout out to him, hey, lame man. Good to see you this morning. Glad to know you're still in the same place. Jesus knew that he had been in that situation for a long time. And Jesus knew that when you have been struggling, when you have gone through something for a long time, you are ready for some relief. You're ready for some relief. So Jesus, knowing that this man was ready for some relief, he goes toward the man and he asks him one thing. Theleios ugiase. Genesta. Theleios ugiase. Genesta. Genesta, from the word Greek word genoma. Well, we have our word Genesis, which is the beginning. He uses this word to ask him about the change of state or condition, to enter by birth into a different dimension by passing through it. He says, do you, Theleios, desire, will. Do you have the desire to change state today? Do you want to be made whole? Folks, that's the question that I ask you on today, do you want to be made whole? Is it your desire to be made whole on today? Jesus coming to this man, I notice he never addresses the struggle. He only asks of his desire or will to be in a different condition. He never once asked him, well, how long you been here? What's been going on? How you feeling? How you doing? Is anybody helping you out? Is anybody talking to you? Anything I can do for you? He says, do you want to be made whole? And when I looked at this, I said, now, Jesus ultimately could have just come in, made him whole on his own. But he asked this question because even that it is God's power and will to heal, he also wants to know if it's your desire. Because here's the reality, some folk are comfortable in their sickness and in their sin. You're just asking God, Lord, help me to buy my medicine. Help me to do the things. Help me to get to the doctor. Lord, give me some gas money so I can travel here and there to see my doctor. But God is saying to you, I'm not willing to just give you gas money to get to the doctor. I don't want to just give you more medicine to put in your body. If it is your desire, I'm asking you, are you ready to change conditions? Church, I'm telling you, God is asking us today. He's not asking us, do you want some more money in the bank account? Do you need more members? Do you want this to happen? Do you want this? All of that superficial, if we're not changing dimensions and going from glory to glory and faith to faith in Christ, he's asking us today, are you ready to change your condition? Mister, implying origin, to be assembled at, to enter from one state into another by passing. He's asking us. In other words, Jesus is saying to him, what do you want today? Do you want to enter into another condition starting with today and right now as the origin of your condition? Do you want today to be the day that something different is about you? You're born into something else than what you are. Ask them, do you be born into your another condition? The reason why Jesus is able to offer this to this man is because the one who's asking him, does he want his condition to change, is the one by himself he's called the I am. In the Greek, it is ego eimi, which means I am eternally self-existent one, is asking you if you're willing to change your condition. He says to him, the I am, the one who always was, the one who is at present, the one who will be forever. I've always been who I am. I am what I am right now, still in this flesh. And there'll never be a time nor day that I'm not that who I am. Y'all missed it. I've always been who I am. I continue to be so right now, even in this flesh, and I will never cease to be that. What are you saying to us? What I could do, I still do. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. What I could do yesterday, I'm still able to do today. And if I'm able to do it today like I did yesterday, I'll keep doing it tomorrow. The I am is saying to him, I who was, is, and forevermore will be, who never changes, has power to change you. He, ego, ama, self-existent one who never changes, who has no beginning date, who has no expiration. He's always been on the throne and he'll never resign from that place. He's asking this man, this creature, the one he has created, do you want to move to another area? Do you want to occupy another place? Now, Jesus is asking him, do you want to change? But as I get ready to leave you, I want to say this. The man misses the question. Watch what he does. First of all, he doesn't give an answer. He gives an explanation. He never answers. He gives an explanation. In his explanation, he does like a lot of us. In his explanation, he blames his impotence on his isolation. It's in the text. He says, sir, when I am in the place, I don't have anybody. When the water is troubled, to put me in. I don't have anybody. And this word is there. He tells us it's in the present subjunctive mood, which says that there's never anyone present at any time I need them. Anybody ever felt like that? There you are under the weight of what you're going through, and you're struggling with it, and there you are, and you feel that anytime you need anybody to help you, they ain't around. I don't have anybody that's there to help me. When the water is troubled, when it's the time for me to move, I have no one pushing me toward my blessing. Anybody ever felt like when that season comes in your life, ooh, there it was, I need to go now, but there was nobody in my corner pushing me. They didn't support me. They wouldn't encourage me. They wouldn't get me up and carry me to the pool and drop me in. They were never there. I had no one to put me in the pool. Never anyone around. But why is there never anyone around? Well, because when the water is troubled, there's a frenzy to be first. He says that when the water is troubled, everybody realizes, oh, that's the time, and they go after it for themselves. Now, you got to understand, hurting folk, they're not really focusing on you, even though you're hurting as well. There's a lot of folk in this room, you're hurting, and so you don't really see the hurt of someone else. You just know that when the Spirit moves and that's your opportunity, you go for the gusto. You jump at that chance. And he says that that's what's happening, even though I know that's my time and they know I've been here, that when the time comes, their selfishness causes them to precede me into the water. So I'm left out. I missed it that Sunday. I leave every Sunday feeling frustrated because I saw others get their blessing and their breakthrough. They came down and the pastor prayed over them, poured oil on them. They fell out in the floor and they got up rejoicing and left out. But what about me? I left frustrated again. I've got to go back to that hellish situation on my job and in my house. What am I going to do for another day because I keep missing the water being troubled? It's around me, but I'm missing it. I'm the only one I feel like that's missing it and going home angry and frustrated because it wasn't my Sunday. But oh, Jesus, again, never asked him the first time about what he was going through. He never responds to what the man says about his condition. But listen to what he does. He does not entertain excuses. He simply gives him directives toward deliverance. Listen, that's what I need you to understand today. I want to leave this with you today. Regardless of how long, regardless the setup around your circumstances, don't ever forget to do what Jesus says. Listen, the reason why you need to do what Jesus says, because when you do what the Lord says, it will give you deliverance. It'll bring healing. He gives him a three-pronged remedy to his sickness. First of all, he says, rise. Look at your neighbor and say, rise. He says, rise. That means you've got to get up from where you are. This would take an act of faith because he's saying you've been laying down on that bed for a long time. For 38 years, you've understood how to lay flat and have a flat line on a bed. But if you're going to get healed, you got to understand, you got to change postures. Look at your neighbor and say, if you want to rise, you got to change posture. You've been laying down. He says, it's time to sit up and pay attention. But not only does he say rise, secondly, he says to him what seems like an impossibility. It's certainly impossible if you're going to lay down, you can't take up a bed. But when you rise, you're able to see the possibilities that are created by your new posture. Y'all ain't going to help being here. He's able to see that what Jesus is asking him is not really impossible, for he says to one who had not moved with his legs in 38 years, he says, I need you to change posture. And then I need you to pick up your bed. Somebody may say, Jesus, it is too heavy.
You don't understand. A few years ago, I did try to pick it up, but he says you did that in your own strength. If you do it today at my command and under the sound of my voice in faith, he says, you will pick up your bed. Well, what does it mean when he says to take up your bed? It is the demonstration of freedom and ability to take up the bed and carry it away from the pool as proof that you once had a bed of affliction, but now you have been lifted from it. What a testimony of wholeness it is to once be laid out on a bed of affliction, but then respond to the voice of the Lord and find your healing. But not only does he tell him to rise and take up your bed, but he also says, and then walk. What does a walk mean? It is a present imperative, which means that he's telling him it is a command to start something in the future and continue to do it from then on. What are you saying is, he's saying that once you pick up your bed, don't ever put it down again. You don't ever have to lay down on that same bed again. Have I got a witness in here? He tells him to pick up his bed and begin to walk, to get up and to take your testimony and begin to walk it out by faith. And never stop walking in the testimony, in the power of your deliverance and your healing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to walk it out. Y'all didn't tell him like, it's time to walk it out. Well, the Bible says that somewhere between verse 8 command and the activity of verse 9, that the man believed by faith in obedience. And the Bible said that immediately he was made whole. And I thank God that he healed him. And the man took up the bed and began to walk. Well, this demonstration of deliverance came with the disruption of protocol. Don't you understand that when you are healed, everybody is not happy about when it happened? But I thank God they dislike maybe when it happened. But one thing you can't deny is the power that there was a man laying on a bed of affliction 38 years, but now he takes up his bed and walks. You can't deny the power of an empty cot. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. That's power. In the name of Jesus, yes, when you were down and out, he brought you out. When you were down at the bottom, he lifted you. Don't you think for one minute that everybody was shouting and rejoicing with you? Just like in the text, the Bible says that it was the Sabbath day. I wouldn't get too caught up in what day it is, because what you have to understand is whenever Jesus showed up, it's a day of rest in him. Have I got a witness in here? I don't know about you, but I thank God he raised me up. Oh, shucks. I thank God he raised me up, for I was a wretch undone. I was in a pit of sin, seeking to rise no more. But I heard the master say, get up, look at your neighbor and tell a neighbor, I don't care what you're going through, he's calling you to get up from where you are. Change your posture, put on his righteousness. Carry your bed. That thing that was laying you were laying on. He gives you power to carry it as a testimony. Look at this man. I'm sure when he began to walk around the city, there were some people said, no, it can't be. It just can't be him. I remember for 38 years, he was in that condition. How is it he's able to walk today? But if they got close enough to him, he'd tell them, I met a man named Jesus. Anybody know him? We celebrate him. Anybody know him? He said, I met a man named Jesus, and he told me to get up and take up my bed and begin to walk. Where will you go? Everywhere he leads me, I'm willing to go. And whatever he tells me, I'm willing to say, shall glory, glory. Since I laid my burdens down, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to go higher in a new year. I'm trying to live better in a new year. But if I'm going to do that, I got to leave some stuff. I got to drop some stuff. I got to pick up some stuff. And I got to walk in Jesus. Anybody in here not ashamed today to stand on your feet and just start walking, walking in Jesus, walking in Jesus, walking in Jesus. Yeah! Woo! 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 I'm hollering for all I've been through. But he's been good to me. Yeah. You know the reason why we can celebrate on an empty bed. You know the reason why we can rejoice over an empty bed is because one Friday evening they laid him in a tomb and he stayed there all night Friday night. He stayed there all day Saturday. He stayed there all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, when they ran to the tomb was empty. I can praise him for an empty bed, because there was an empty tomb that Sunday morning. He got up. Oh, power. Oh, power in his hands. Shout, yeah. Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I don't know about you, but I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? I said, I know he's all right. Anybody tried him? Anybody will be able to try him? Do you know he's all right? Do you know he's all right? Tell your neighbor he's all right. Matter of fact, go tell somebody over here on the other side he's all right. Anybody over here know he's all right? Tell somebody over there he's all right. Y'all ain't moving. Y'all ain't walking. Y'all ain't telling nobody. I said, go over there and tell somebody the God I serve. He's able. He's able. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask or imagine. Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? Anybody know he's all right? He's all right. He's all right. Did he raise you up? Did he raise you up? Did he empty your bed of affliction? Where you once were, you've been raised up as a testimony. What a mighty God we serve. But the reason why I love him so is because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. Anybody got a cry in your soul? Why don't you just get it out? Why don't you just get it out? If you gotta run, you gotta run it out. You ought to shout it out. You ought to tell somebody he's able. He's able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you're struggling with, you need to understand that our God is able to deliver you. He's able to deliver you. As we extend an invitation, can I get the song "We All for Christ"? I want every minister to come now. Listen, we knew this day was going to come. There's someone in this room, you've been struggling for a long time with what you've been facing. But the Lord wants me to tell you today, you need to come to this altar and get your deliverance. You need to find your way to the place of surety and security in Jesus Christ. He has power today. I told you by his name, he's Ego Ima. The I Am, the one who was, is, and forever will be. He's the same. Listen, this testimony that's in John 5 is there to help us to understand the magnitude of his power. He's able to raise lame men up from a place of affliction, telling them to rise, change their posture, take up their bed and walk. When you walk, you are forever walking. You're never in that incapacitated, debilitated state again by sin caused by your depression of circumstances. You are able to walk through whatever he has put before you. But you've got to understand that he has that same power that he did when he raised that man from that bed to do the same for you. Listen, he's still emptying beds of affliction. Do I have a witness? He's still emptying beds of depression and sin. I want to ask you to stand if you're able to stand right now. Not only coming for salvation, but we need those who are here to come for reaffirmation, for restoration, for healing in your body and in your spirit. The power of Christ would reign in your life. You need the power of the anointing on your life to cover you, to assist you with what you're going through. Listen, how dare we complain about what we're facing and what we're going through? And the opportunity is here for you right now to come. Don't allow the shame of your circumstance, the guilt and the ugliness of your sin to keep you in your seat. You need to come. It doesn't matter if you've come before, you need